Well, welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
And I'm Ethan.
And this time we're going to be talking about Cold Pursuit. So, this time we're going to do another Not So Brief, and this is a movie that we have been anticipating since we saw the trailer.
Yeah, we saw the trailer a while ago, and we got pretty excited with the idea of another Liam Neeson movie, and so we'll be talking about how we felt about it. Before we going into it, I was hoping for it to be kind of a, you know, over-the-top, fun, old man action movie, but...
Yes, I thought it was going to be entertainingly bad.
Yeah, right?
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
And so if it would have been entertainingly bad, if that would have happened, I think I still would have said I enjoyed the movie because it met my expectations, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a couple scenes in the movie that kind of display what was possible with the whole...
A little bit.
Hilariously bad.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So I will say, I liked it.
I am kind of mad that I liked it. Is how I kind of feel. I remember walking out of the theater. I was like, that wasn't bad. And it was in that awkward gray area because it wasn't like super good.
Right.
Wasn't super bad. And it wasn't like on the bad spectrum where it was
right.
Bad and good. But also wasn't on the spectrum on the good side of being super good. And, you know, having, I don't know, actually... How else it could be good, really.
Well, there's different kinds of good movies. There's different kinds of bad movies.
I mean, like, good in the sense that it was entertaining, but not good in the sense that it was a good story.
Right.
It was kind of in a gray area where it was solid, but not super entertaining.
Right.
But kind of like an awkward area, like I was saying.
Yeah, because, I mean, going into this one, like we said, I thought this was just going to be schlocky, kind of in the vein of stuff like The Commuter, which is really bad.
I was thinking more nonstop area.
Okay. Where that one's not... I need to rewatch that one.
These are both Liam Neeson movies where we're pretty much going to be talking about a lot of Liam Neeson, referencing those, because that's all we can really compare it to.
Right.
Because, you know, when it comes to his type of movies, it's pretty much the same throughout.
I guess I was expecting it to be Taken, but like a bad version of that, but it was still entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I expected there to be a lot of kind of cat and mouse between him and the cops. And we'll talk more about that when we get into spoilers.
I definitely think the trailer mismarketed it. I think it was definitely mismarketed, which... I don't think it was super. I mean, if you look at it now, you can see, okay, yeah, I guess that's kind of portrayed in the trailer, but it's not quite as, like, when you see the trailer, you're thinking, like, action thriller.
Yes.
This, I'll just say, so, you know, it's not too much of an action thriller, and we'll get into stuff that makes
it's a revenge thriller,
different.
Right? But it's not an action movie.
I did like some of the ways it approached it that made it unique as compared to his other movies, which I think we'll talk about those kind of things later.
So the original, this movie is a remake of a Norwegian film called In Order of Disappearance, and it's directed by this guy, Hans Petter Moland, who also directed this movie.
Yeah.
But all he did was take the script, the Norwegian script, translate it to English, and shoot it with a different cast.
Yeah. And when we say that, we literally mean shot for shot. It's the exact same movie, because we went and saw Cold Pursuit, and the night or two after...
Yeah.
You've gotten it from the library, and we're like, hey, let's see if this is a movie.
Yeah.
And literally 5 minutes into the movie, like, if you would set them side by side on two different TVs, it would be the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would not at all be surprised if we set them next to each other that the same beats are at the same timestamp even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the lines are just identical, basically.
Yeah.
If you look at the subtitles in the Norwegian film and the actual dialogue in the Liam Neeson film, it's the same.
It's
a couple
kind of
differences, because the setting is different.
Yeah.
So, like, the antagonists in Order of Disappearance are Serbians, I think.
Yeah. And they're
Not even the antagonists. They're just one of the kind of, there's two groups of antagonists, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, there's a tribal casino. It's not even a tribal casino. He's just like a Native American guy, a Ute guy who is a drug lord. But we can talk more about that when we get into it. Funny story about this one was I found out that it was adapted or a remake of this other film. So I looked it up and found it in our library, but I also found a book called Cast in Order of Disappearance, which is essentially what the title of that other movie is, right? Where every time a character dies, it pops up his name. And so the cast names come in order of disappearance instead of in order of appearance. That's the way lots of times they roll in the credits. But so I saw this. It's based on a book. That's really cool because I do another podcast that's movies based on books. So I put a hold request on the book and I read it. It has nothing whatsoever to do with it. It's just a complete coincidence. The titles are that similar. Where this Cast in Order of Disappearance, which is enjoyable, and it's the first in a series of books following this one character who's an actor who essentially becomes a detective, and he uses his skills as an actor to play different characters in order to find information. But yeah, no, not
definitely different than the movies.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to say was the original name. When I started Googling around looking for reviews and announcements mm-hmm. about this movie, I found that there was a working title for it was Hard Powder.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like a so bad it's good movie.
It sounds like a schlocky ski movie.
Which I will say, I think the Cold Pursuit title is definitely better. I mean, titles these days, like I don't care if the title's not that great, but I will say that title is definitely better than Hard Powder.
Yeah, I mean, in that one, since there's a, cocaine element here, it makes mm-hmm. sense, but Hard Powder just, it sounds like a ski movie.
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say we get into some of our favorite stuff.
Yes. I did like the fact that, I mean, when we talk about this being a shot-for-shot remake, even like the name of the main character in this one, in Cold Pursuit, is Nels, right? Uh-huh. Which is, it's Nils in the other one.
Yeah.
But his last name in this one is Coxman.
Yeah.
And in the other one, it's Dickman.
Yeah. I thought it was great how they just switched the superlatives for obvious word in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
No, I actually, as I was watching the movie, I didn't get bored. I was just kind of... I was glued to the screen, but not like in the usual way, like, oh my goodness, this is so good. I was just kind of confused because it was just kind of random at points, you know?
It was.
And it was kind of all over the place.
It's the tone is a little strange.
Yes.
Because it's kind of comedic.
It takes like a comedic mm-hmm. take on murder.
Right. Yeah. And that's an odd way to go.
And it's not like you don't root for the guy mm-hmm. because when the thing about a really good protagonist is you root for him no matter what he does or if it's questionable. It's not that I'm not rooting for him. I'm just kind of like, oh, he's doing things. Like, that's great. You know, I was just kind of, I felt like I wasn't invested in it. I was just kind of watching an interesting story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of weird too because shortly after seeing this movie, we went to church and there was this story about a guy whose daughter was murdered mm-hmm. and how he eventually, developed a healthy, forgiving relationship with the murderer. Mm-hmm. And then there's this, which is exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Where he goes on this killing spree.
Yeah. And I actually thought that the way they went about where you could tell he was not professional. Mm-hmm. It was just this, happened to be big, happened to have these resources with his plows, with the weapons he has.
He's a guy who works with his hands. And he's a blue collar guy. He's Liam Neeson, so he's 6'4" or something.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he's that's the thing I really liked about this. So it's not like he was a former Navy SEAL or, mm-hmm. or something like that. He's just a guy who's tough.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so eventually, if he hits somebody in the face, that's effective. Mm-hmm. He's not good at murder at mm-hmm. first, right? He knocks the first guy down, basically gets the name of the second guy from him and then chokes him. Mm-hmm. But it's almost played for comedy that
he thinks the job's done and then he starts breathing again.
Yeah.
I thought the way they shot those scenes was actually pretty interesting mm-hmm. because it's a lot more, there's like no shaky cam whatsoever, mm-hmm. like in the whole movie.
Right.
And it's a lot of stable, just like there's this one part where the first guy he kills, he kind of just drags him across into this van.
Right.
And it's just kind of interesting because it goes to show just like, he has no clue what to do in the circumstance. Right. Like, how do I get rid of the body? Right. What do I do with this?
And but even that-
he like, goes into that later.
Yeah, he has some logic behind that. Mm-hmm. By the way, that reminds me of, there's a couple posters for this movie that are really good, mm-hmm. Where it's basically just a big white expanse because of the snow, and it just shows him kind of dragging a body towards a van.
Yeah. I think the way he gets rid of the bodies is pretty smart and how she's like, oh, I read it in a crime novel,
Right.
It just kind of, I did my research.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty interesting just mm-hmm. because a lot of times in any murder movie or any crime movie, like, oh, how are they going to get away with this? And they don't mm-hmm. really explain it. And that it was pretty explained, just kind of like 5 seconds. Oh, that makes sense. Yep. That's logical. Cool.
It's funny because even though I knew about the in order of disappearance thing, the first time a name popped up on the screen, which was his son, mm-hmm. I didn't quite get it.
I don't think they had said his son's name before.
No, they had.
They had, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it because I watched the trailer and I remembered that was his son's name. So I'm like, oh, are they doing this where every single time someone dies, they pop up? And so later when you see one of the guys die, it does, like, you kind of catch on to that.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing that I want to talk about like, it is down to if I think this is a good movie or a bad movie. It's the main villain, the main antagonist.
Yes. The thing is, I like to say this too.
Go ahead.
He is what makes it make or break because it's awful acting.
It's terrible.
But I would watch the movie again because it is that hilarious sometimes. Yes. It is so funny to watch him because he reminds me kind of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. He's kind of twitchy and like really picky and is just kind of cringy.
Yeah.
And I don't do well with cringy humor. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of shivering the whole movie, but it was pretty funny in some circumstances.
Yeah. I could tell immediately that this was not an American guy, that he was putting on an American accent and it was a bad one.
Yeah.
And I looked him up and found out, he's English. But the way the character is drawn, and this is true to the other movie as well, right? Like, he's this obsessed with health vegan guy. He's riding in the car with his son.
Yeah. He's taking him to school.
Yeah. And he's looking through his lunch and there's like a muffin in there. And he's like, who's putting this crap in his lunch? You know, high fructose corn syrup, baking soda.
Yeah. He said, I understood the high fructose corn syrup, but then baking soda. I was like, what? What are you talking? And then throws out the window, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Throws out the window.
Yeah, litters.
And it's funny because the kid the whole time just looks like he's stoned. Like he just kind of like,
the kid is a little weird and very sanguine about being kidnapped later in the movie. I wanted to talk about that.
And I think that I asked that. I was like, why is he so chill with just getting kidnapped? Mm-hmm. And you said, well, I mean, his dad's kind of awful.
Yeah.
And so he's not too worried about it.
Yeah, which you'd think he'd be worried about what his mom would think.
Yeah, because his mom is still crazy too, but
a little bit.
A better person.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, the main villain guy is super racist, right? Like his wife is Native American, so it's like he feels like he can say all the bad things about Native Americans that he wants to because, well, I married one, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he assumes that it's the Native Americans that are rivaling him for the drug kind of war that's going on.
Yeah.
That's not really going into. They just said like there had been some tensions, really. That's where the cops come in, which I think is the weaker part of the movie.
Yeah, I did want to talk about this because I don't think we needed the cops at all.
Yeah. I mean, how many times? So there's the cops, there's the Native Americans, there's Liam Neeson, and then there's the main villain. So that's four different really areas they have to go between. Yeah. And they eventually kind of all converge at the end. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like that much shifting between all these different groups because the only time they go to the cops is when they have to be like, oh, hey, there's some big deal in their past and this is why they are here. So we kind of have to say, oh, there used to be some war with the drugs and now it's under control.
Yeah.
And it's this big rich guy who.
Right. And you've got this, you've got the new cop, right? Who's not necessarily a rookie, but is new to this area. Right?
Yeah. And is. You kind of get a sense of that because she's trying to be strict, but then the older one's like, hey, we're really not that strict here. Yeah, we kind of just get them off on, we're just getting them off on parking tickets and, you know.
Yeah. I just feel like there's too many characters.
Yeah.
And we didn't need that.
I think ideally, I think it tried to take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. I think it worked sometimes. I don't think it worked other times.
Right.
I think if it were to be a serious cat and mouse, like you mentioned, thriller, I think it should be with just a maximum of three, but it shouldn't shift between those three perspectives as fast. I think it should mainly focus on Liam Neeson trying to get away with the murders, the cops pursuing him, but then also trying to get away with the murders in the sense of getting closer to the bad guy, which then they can show him little tidbits every now and then, maybe take away the really awful, no baking soda, you know?
Right. No, I wouldn't take away anything with that.
Well, if it was going to try to take it seriously and be a good movie.
Right.
If it's trying to be hilarious, kind of a black comedy, as much as that is possible. Right.
And like you said, like I would watch it again just to see this guy because the performance is so bad that it's super entertaining.
Yeah.
Like the guy commits to it, even though his accent is terrible and some of his line delivery is weird. You know, he is very funny.
Yeah.
Even down to his body language and stuff. So one of the main changes from the Norwegian film to this one is the assassin, because at some point he's Liam Neeson's character, Nels, has kind of killed his way up as far as he can in the chain. And he goes to talk to his brother, who is a former, you know, fixer.
He used to be a part of their kind
organization.
Of organization. Yeah, organization.
Yeah, in the time of the main bad guy's father.
Yes.
And now he's out. And everybody has nicknames, which are kind of hilarious. You know, his was Wingman.
Yeah.
But he
kills all the way up to basically where he can get, not safely, but like without getting really ramped on by the rest of the organization. Yeah,
he's got the name of the main guy, right? And his brother tells him, look, you're not getting to this guy unless you hire a hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hires a hitman and he's called the Eskimo, right?
Yes, correct.
And there's a funny joke in there that I won't reveal. It turns out that he's a black guy.
Yeah.
And so they're asking him, you know, why the nickname? Where in the other one, it's a Japanese guy, but his nickname is the Chinaman, which I'm like, that's really racist.
Yeah.
but, and they talk about, you know, the nickname and that kind of stuff, but the guy double crosses him, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny. And then there's, I think the best scene in the movie for yeah. me was when the bad guy's like, well, let's talk about your ethics here, you know, mm-hmm. because you're a hitman, you're hired to do a job and you're not doing it. He's like, no, but I'm doing this job.
Yeah, he's almost like offended, like, why don't you kill me? Like, you're dishonoring what you're supposed to do.
Right.
He's almost like offended by that. Mm-hmm. And so then he
kind of stands up and he's like, okay, I know what's going to happen. And the henchman guy looks at him and goes, you mind stepping off the rug?
Yeah. And then it closes everything. And then it shows him carrying out the bag. I mean, carrying out the body.
It just shows the name. Right. You know, okay, this was the next guy.
Yes, I think, but I think it shows them carrying out the side.
Yeah.
But like, that's the extent. I think it's nice how the first couple ones are shown how unprofessional they are. And when you know the professional, they're like, okay, we know that these guys just got shot. We're not going to spend 20 minutes on showing this.
Right.
Just we're going to get them off, move on to the movie, which is nice because it keeps the pace moving with a relatively slow movie.
Another example that I thought was well done in terms of like economy of time in the movie, because it isn't a long movie. That's the other nice thing. It was like an hour and a half.
And it's not a long movie. It also is realistic that it only takes a span over 3 days. Really? I mean, 2 or 3 days, maybe?
Yeah, it might be a week.
Okay. I mean, I don't...
It could be
long. It doesn't say like, oh, you know, a week has passed or whatever. Right. It's just kind of like...
But when the main bad guys are looking for one of the guys from the tribal organization, they find him and they see that he's wearing yellow gloves. And so the next thing you see is the guy in the yellow gloves in the, you know, tied up in the back of the car.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that it basically says, hey, we need to know that, well, it trusts the audience to understand yellow gloves, that's connection. Because you can't tell the faces.
Right.
One, because it's too dark. You don't
see him close enough.
Yeah, you don't see him close up. And two, because it's too dark in the car.
Yeah.
And so it kind of takes confidence.
And yeah, the filmmaker is smart enough to know we don't need to show this guy getting whacked.
Yeah.
You're going to connect those dots.
I think another weird part of the movie was the guy who kidnaps him has the $20. Would you like to talk about that?
Right. Yes, the guy who talks about how he sleeps with lots of hotel maids by bribing them with $20 that he puts as a tent over his business.
Yes, and the hilarious part is that he thinks he's doing this another time, and Native Americans get a notice that, hey, this guy's in this hotel, this room. So they go over, get the maids out of there, and then they walk in there, and he thinks the maids are going to come in.
Right.
So he's all excited, and then they'll, like, I don't know, 7 Native Americans are in there, and they just laugh at him and shoot him, and then it shows the dollar bill fly off the bed with a hole through it, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. I also liked when the Native American guys go to the casino and are trying to get a hotel room.
Yeah.
And the lady says, well, you need a reservation.
Yeah.
There's this whole, what I just heard you say was I should go back to the reservation.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to check your stuff again, or should I call your manager?
Yeah. And then she was just
destroy
like,
you on Yelp.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. And then she's just like, oh, we've got plenty of rooms. We're like, oh, I'll check again.
Yeah.
That was great. Which I'm not going to lie though, that whole part where they're just out playing in the snow, I was like,
I didn't understand. Yeah. There was some of this movie where I couldn't figure out like the geography of why they were here.
Uh-huh. I think the script had a little bit of writing issues for like, maybe. Why are people.
One thing that you didn't like was how many establishing shots there were of driving into Denver.
I'm all for transitions and showing like, hey, this person's going to this place, but I'm not kidding. There was like 8 shots of a car going to and from what is supposed to be Denver, because most of it is supposed to be out in like the desolate snow.
Yeah.
And then it goes into Denver like multiple times. Right. And I'm just like, we get it. Just go to the city. That's the only city in the movie.
The thing I thought was interesting was there was never any other traffic on the road. It was always just the lone car.
For sure. I think we can get to our probably the best part. I haven't laughed this long, as loud in a theater in a long time.
Oh, the very end?
The very end. Yes. Is there anything else we can talk about before we talk about that?
I did want to talk about Nels totally kidnaps a kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just, it probably saved the kid's life, but still, he kidnapped a kid, you know? And that's not cool.
Yeah. I think, well, the thing that I looked over at my dad during the movie, and he was like, wait, he's going to kill the kid. Mm-hmm. And that was earlier in the movie before Nels kidnaps the kid. He's basically the Native American's like, oh, he killed my son, I'm going to kill his. And so I think it's a revenge story in two ways, because, you know, there's kind of this whole, this guy's going for this guy, who's going for this guy. And it definitely has the whole, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of feel to it. Because there's a couple parts where, like, Nels at one point is about to kill Viking, which we haven't said that yet. Viking is the main villain.
Yeah.
And then he ends up getting caught. They bring him out. And then the Native Americans come in right then. And then there's this big brawl. And kind of he teams up with the Native Americans and tries to end it, which he does this really cool thing with one of his contraptions out there. He takes this tree, chops it off, and then puts it through a car, which is on one of the posters, I believe.
It has the car impaled on the end of a tree sticking up, right? So it's kind of the opposite of what actually happens.
But yeah, there's definitely some interesting ways that they go with character motivation.
Yeah.
But he does kidnap a kid, which, I mean, that's the thing, is that I didn't have enough, I wasn't invested enough in the characters to be like, oh no, like, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, oh yes, do it, I'm rooting for you, because I was also like, I wasn't that invested.
It made it pretty clear pretty quickly that he had no intention to harm the kid. The kid was bait.
Yeah, he was trying to blackmail him somehow.
He went out of his way to protect the kid in the final fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended with, I'm not totally sure about the ending of it. You know, where he ends up in the snowplow, just going back to work.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, you know, I finished what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's dead now. So.
And he didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't shoot any guns or anything.
Right.
And so there's no evidence that he was a part of it. So he doesn't have to worry about anything, because all the evidence previously is now in a waterfall. Is that what it is? They throw him off a river.
Into a river. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, at the very end, he's kind of driving, doing his work, and then one of
the head dealer,
Native American dealer, gets in the car and points his gun at him, and is kind of confused, like, "What are you doing? Like, you're just going to drive away?" And he stops and he's like, "I'm just doing my job." And so then it has a scene where shows him kind of going to open the gate, you know, doing his normal routine, which is established at the beginning, gets back in, and I like how they both just put down their guns, because it kind of shows, like, oh, you know, this is fine.
Yeah.
And so they're driving off. I think it has this transition, because I think it's like in the day and then it's a night and then day, right?
Right. It's early morning.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he's driving and the Native American wakes up and he looks over to the side, and it's set up earlier where one of the other members of the Native American
had gone paragliding.
Yes, had gone paragliding. And so he's kind of going all of it, like, oh, he's having fun. And then he looks over. Yeah,
he'd been up there for hours, right?
Yes, right. I mean, the whole night.
Yeah.
Because it was started at the end day. Mm-hmm. So it had been like 18 hours or something.
I don't know. Yeah. Most of a day.
If it goes from middle of day to all the way through the night to the morning, that's like.
That guy's an icicle.
Yes. And so he's doing his paragliding, and then it shows him coming to frame, and he's kind of coming down like, oh, he's going to come in for a landing. And then he goes into the snowplow and it's one of those snowplows where it kind of has that intake snow and then spits the snow out to the sides to create a path.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into it and literally gets gobbled up and thrown out of the thing in tiny bits.
And it's not really gory.
It's not gory. Like, it's the color of the parachute. It's like yellow and stuff, and gets spat out. And then it has that shot and then goes back to the two of them and it ends.
That got a big laugh in the theater.
It was really funny.
From all 30 people
who were in the theater. And I believe that did. We were curious if that was going to happen in Order of Disappearance, which it did.
It did. Yep.
Which it's so weird to end it like that, but
it is.
You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So I feel like that's one of the criticisms of the film, right? I'm like, if you wanted it to be a comedy, you could have just amped up the comedy throughout, right?
For sure.
Where this way it's almost like it's too abrupt to end it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, it's the biggest laugh I've had in a movie theater in ages.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. Anything else
ratings?
To talk about?
I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
No, I don't think so. It's not making a lot of money.
I think it has to do with the whole Liam Neeson controversy right now.
Controversy.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it has something to do with that. I think I read that it's Liam's lowest grossing movie since one of his older things.
Yeah.
Which I'm not that surprised, because I don't think people are getting that tired of Liam Neeson films. I think they just weren't interested in the premise, and they weren't interested because a lot of people like to do like, whoa, based on his past, I don't want to support him by going to his movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that had something to do with it. But not an awful movie overall.
No, that's the – I mean, it's made like, I don't know, $24 million.
That's
like
nothing.
It was like a $60 million budget. Yeah. So it's a
We could have fit this movie into the things that flopped to the box office.
Yeah, totally. Man, that's a great poster. I'm going to post that poster for the show notes, or like for the post on the website.
Yeah.
I wanted to look up just real quick. How much did the commuter make?
It probably made a lot more.
And that's a terrible movie.
No, that is actually awful.
It made $120 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie's brutal. This is much better than The Commuter. I think it's a more interesting
movie. Something that I actually forgot to mention is that it is a very good looking movie. I mean, it's set out in
Cold Pursuit?
A snowy, yes, Cold Pursuit. Yeah. A lot of the shots are really beautiful because it's out in the snow, you know, mm-hmm. It looks really good. There's some bad CGI in it with Denver and stuff, but it looks really good. Mm-hmm. The thing about the other Liam Neeson movies that I've seen is that it's
some of them, yeah.
I was thinking of Nonstop because there's a really awful CGI train scene when the train gets blown up, you know?
Oh, no, you said Nonstop, you meant The Commuter.
I meant Commuter, yes. Yeah. Where the train gets blown up, it's terrible. Yeah, it's so bad. This movie is definitely, I would say, one of the stronger mm-hmm. Liam Neeson revenge movies out there, even though it's not getting recognized.
It's a very different one, though, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not him as a professional killer.
Yeah.
He's this guy, I like the fact that he doesn't really know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. He's doing stuff that he's read about, you know, but he's an amateur mm-hmm. and that's fine. And so I guess if we get to letter grade, I'd probably go like B-
yeah.
for this one.
I do numeric grade. So I'd say probably a 6 or a 7 maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll go 7. I think I think if it's an 8 or higher, that's something I want to watch again. Mm-hmm. Even though this is a 7, which is getting close to that territory, I definitely don't want to watch it again. It's not because I don't like it. It's just like, it's that kind of movie. Like, you can watch a really good movie and have you not want to watch it again. You know? I think that replay value has something a lot to do with how people view movies. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has a ton, but it was a solid theater watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't the same kind of fun we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting one. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what we're going to do next for a not so brief, but it'll probably be a while. We'll probably do a few briefs.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, we'll do Us, which is coming out in a month.
Oh, okay. That'll probably be the next one.
That's one of my most I've said to my dad, this is my most anticipated movie, period, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
So I think we'll definitely have to do one of those. But otherwise, the unfortunate thing for film is that the first 3 months or 4 months, really, it's either... It's always really awful movies at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so considering that there's been some okay releases already is pretty surprising.
Right. I think that's starting to change because like Black Panther came out last
year. Well, yeah, but like this stereotype has always been January movies. Oh no, like horror movies, like awful horror movies were a thing in the early January and February for a while. And so I think that once we get further down the line, there might be some better stuff that hasn't been announced yet. But for now, not really too much to look forward to.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Reach out to us on Twitter @BriefNotSoBrief and let us know. Have you seen this movie? What did you think? And maybe send us a recommendation for another Liam Neeson movie to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I already mentioned some that we need to check out just for fun, but I don't know if we need to.
When we started writing down things to do, I wrote down a bunch of Liam Neeson movies. And like, we could just do all of his, you know, since Taken.
Kind of we could just, like I said, we could categorize them and make sure not to focus too much on him.
But. Yeah, I think we decided we'd rather do just a general one on old man action movies rather than all the Liam Neeson ones. Yeah,
so we'll definitely do that at some point.
Yeah.
Include some more older men kicking butt.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.